Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It is 12:07. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. My name is Shaletta Brundage. I am the host of this here show. And August is Black Business Month. Now, I didn't have a reason to celebrate until 4 years ago when I became a business owner myself. I created ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, my podcasting and promotions company that celebrates Black culture. And that's when I realized the systemic barriers that keep Black business owners from not just surviving, but thriving. Access to capital, political connections, social capital. Bank loans and credit cards that are not extended our way, forgivable loans. Folks thinking just because we're a Black business that a business that is owned by a Black person that we only want to do business with Black people, or people who just downright outright discriminate against Black business owners. If you see a successful Black business owner, believe me, they have come through a lot to get to where they are. I tell people all the time, every dollar that I have earned is hard fought. It is rare that somebody says, hey, we want to give you this money to do this job and to do this work. And, we really trust and appreciate you. I got to jump through hoops. I got to put proposals and presentations together. There's no such thing as I know I can do the job and get an opportunity to do that. I damn near have to do the job before they give it to me. Right. And then it's always a challenge to get paid. That's just the life of a business owner, especially one from communities of color. And so for August, during Black Business Month, I always try to do something special for Black entrepreneurs. I had a soiree at the Minneapolis Club this past Thursday where a couple hundred business owners were there taking tours of the building. And it wasn't anything that was formal. We didn't have a program. I didn't make a speech. People just came and we ate and we drank and we networked and we loved each other. That's it. And then the week before that, I had Black Entrepreneurs Day at the ballpark where African-American business owners set up tables and they were able to sell their product to all the fans at CHS Field during the St. Paul Saints baseball game. It was absolutely amazing. We had a great time and so many African-American business owners were able to network and pass out their business cards and get new clients and make some new connections. And, that got me to thinking about the Minnesota State Fair. you know, there was a time where there were no African-American businesses who were vendors at the state fair, and that is not the case anymore. And so when I saw Reggie Carter and his beautiful bride with at their booth, and they were selling doggy treats, I said, oh, my gosh, I have got to get them on the show. Because I'm gonna tell you something. The line was long while we eating everything on the stick. Reggie and his wife are making sure that the pets back at home are getting some treats from the fair, too. And so I had to invite Reggie on the show so he could talk to me about how being at the state fair impacts his business. Must be rough. And he is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Reggie, thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you and your wife have Must Be Rough. Talk to me about your business.
Well, Must Be Rough is a homemade, all-natural pet treat company. We started it, this is year three, and we had in mind that if we feed the dogs natural, healthy, that hopefully they'll live a longer, healthier, happier life.
And how did you get into this business? Because that is so original and so new, which is probably why every time I see you all at the state fair, and you were there for a state fair preview day and you were there for the fair, there's always a line of folks waiting to get to you. And you all are making these treats like right there on the spot. And, you know, it's like you said, it's all natural. And apparently it's delicious because people are coming back over and over and over again.
Right, right. Well, you know, people's animals and pets, they're part of their family, and so they want nothing but the best for them. I grew up on a farm in Mississippi, and just about all the foods that we ate, we went and picked them from the garden outside. And so the dogs that we had, they ate whatever my mom cooked. And we, all the pets that we had, they lived these long lives, 17, 18 years old. So I just went back to that roots part and said, I'm going to make things for our dog, but it's going to be all homemade that I know what's going into the food.
Yeah, because you just absolutely never know. Now, how did it go from you making homemade treats for your pets to starting a business where you make homemade treats for other people's pets?
Well, when I was making the treats myself for my dog, and I had a few people inquire about buying them. They saw them. My wife took pictures and posted some online, on social media, and a few people reached out to me to inquire. And so once I had a handful of people inquire about buying them, I thought more people would be interested. And so I applied for the state fair after being in business like 3 months.
Wait a minute. Now, hold on. Back up. You mean to tell me you were in business 3 months when you came to the fair? What was that experience like?
A lot of anxiety. No one around me really thought that we could do it because, you know, that's a tall task. We're just making treats in our kitchen. We don't have any type of production or no money or, but I just was, you know, I was at a point in my life where I didn't want to have any more regrets. And I have these ideas of things I want to try. And so I just went for it.
And I tell you what, you stepped out on faith and God met you where you were. And you have been
doing great.
Talk to me about what being at the fair means for your business.
Being at the fair has been like, you know, the fair is pretty much it's almost a validation. It's almost like once you're there, other businesses, it's like they don't have to vet you as much because it's like, okay, you're at the fair, so you must be doing something right. Okay, we can do business with you. It's been phenomenal. It brings media presence. It's a validation. It helps tremendously.
Now, what's business been like? Because anytime I pass by your booth or table, you guys have a long line of people. Are you getting new customers, repeat customers? Are you guys doing pretty good?
Yeah, we're doing good. I know last year during the fair, I think we'll have repeat customers by 4 and 5 times just during the stretch of the fair.
Wow.
Yeah, and last year we won one of the awards for one of the best vendors at the Minnesota State Fair. And so that helped out a lot.
Wow. Okay. Now you got to tell everybody where you're going to be so they'll know where to go looking for you when they hit up the fair on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. We'll be in the Pet Pavilions, which is up at Machinery Hill next to the new hangar bar up on that end by the old tractors and things.
Yes, yes. Well, we will look for you, and we know that folks are going to be lining up to get the treats. We don't even have a dog. We buy them for the neighbor's dog, and Molly over at Mr. Fields' house really enjoys it just because I love supporting you. I love the work you're doing, and I want to see you succeed. All right, y'all going up to the State Fair, look for Must Be Rough. Tell Reggie Carter you heard about his dog treats on the show and you wanted to support him. Reggie, thank you so much and happy Black Business Month.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. You as well. And y'all stick around. We've got more to come. It is 2:20. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I want to make sure we talk about it. I want to make sure you're good and informed about what's going on, because starting today, how real estate agents get paid changes. What does that mean for Minnesota home buyers and sellers? I'm talking to Michael Roberts with Roberts Property. He's joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Michael, what is going on? Buyers now have to sign a representation agreement with an agent before they even see one house, right?
Yep. So that's a big thing, but it should have been always a practice, right? We're always supposed to give them affiliation, which lets them know who they're being represented by, which is a broker and buyer's agent, as well as who their company partnerships are through title and so on, as well as what they're tying themselves up with an exclusive or non-exclusive agreement for representation and fiduciary duties. So that was always should be a number one, but with the requirement of a mandatory agent's commission, that allowed some agents to just skip that initial step to be able to, hey, let's just jump out here and go see this place, because it already has a listed compensation agreement in the MLS, which is a mandatory requirement. So the listing agent would automatically say, hey, look, you want my services? I need about 3%, because I'm going to do this, that, A, B, R, A, Z, and I'm also going to want to dangle a carrot out there for the buyer's agent. So let's offer them, let's give them 3%. And that's where you get that 6% there and moving forward. And it's already listed on the MLS, so the point of them having to sit down and do all the extra, hey, this is what I'm going to pay. Some agents were even telling them, hey, you don't have to worry about that because, we're already taking care of it. They already know preset. It's labeled and listed in the MLS. And in order to participate in MLS, you have to put that compensation there of some type of number, even if it's a dollar.
Now, this comes after a blockbuster settlement about 5 months ago. The promised changes to the real estate industry are now in effect today. The class action lawsuit against the National Association of Realtors alleged that buyers and sellers have been paying their realtors too much. And in March, the NAR settled the case without admitting any guilt and agreed to pay $418 million to settle the claim that longstanding business practice enabled agents and their brokers to collect what they were saying was high commissions. And the new rules changed the buying and selling process. So talk to me about what changes people are going to see, because somebody who may have, bought their home 5, 6, 7 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, they're going through a divorce, Michael. They're downsizing. Kids are going off to college. They realize they don't need all this space. And so they are going to see something different. And they're going to be like, well, wait a minute. This ain't what happened last time.
Yep. So what they'll necessarily see, if they're listing their home, they're going to have more negotiation power, right? So no longer will it have to be whatever that meant. Because it became a usual average, right? You usually see about 2 to 2.73% in there, right? Based on what the predetermined negotiated compensation, like we spoke of with the listing agent getting his compensation, then negotiating, if I was the buyer agent, my compensation to bring my client there. That is now optional and now no longer mandatory and listed, right? So it's not listed on the MLS. meaning it has to be negotiated either agent to agent for a broker, which is the old school system, broker to broker compensation.
Right.
And now the seller has the option to say, I want to give or I don't want to give to that buyer's agent.
Okay. Okay.
It was
all right.
Because the way listing agents would have to approach it, it's mandatory, right? I have to put some compensation here for the other side to even get you listed on the MLS so we can partake.
And, another thing that got me, Michael, was that it also includes how long the buyer will work with the agent and how the broker and the agent will earn their compensation, whether it's a share of the purchase price or a flat fee or something else.
Yep. So because the listing agent has the option to hog as well, right? So they can bring their own buyer agent in. I mean, not their own buyer agent, but they can get their own client to come and purchase the place. So the listing agent would be able to have two negotiations in this new setup. So they'll say, hey, well, if I just list it and somebody else comes and brings the buyer, which now I don't have to negotiate that side, I want my 3% for listing your home, and you can handle that, whatever that is, with the buyer's agent. That's a different negotiation. But if I find the client that comes in directly to me, my commission is 4% now instead of that 3 or 5, right? But if in the old system, if it was already predetermined that you were offering 3%, they now just took 6% and hauled the deal.
Got it.
This new system, it's going to be more competitive pricing for the sellers. And the only people that are really going to get hurt detrimentally is the actual consumers on the lower end that don't really have the financing to pay for a buyer's agent, which I see in the near future, down payment assistance starting to lean towards helping out with the buyer's agent's compensation with this new system. That's the only way I can see it actually being more frictionless and where we can come in and say, hey, buyer's agent, I have a lender here who's good at this, that, and the third, getting down payment assistance, and we have new programs with down payment assistance that allow buyers agents to be paid with that as well, up to a certain percentage or however they set it up. But that's just me forward thinking, right? So that's why I see us growing into new things. But this all speculation until things come about. We get into shifting markets, going from a buyer's market to a seller's market and so on, and watching these things play out.
Okay, now you have to tell me how folks can get in touch with you, because if they're getting ready to buy or sell their house, they want to find somebody that they can trust, somebody who understands this new process, who can explain it and break it down to them like you just did to me, so that folks understand it. It's already a complicated and confusing process, Michael. You know that this is your industry, but to have somebody who can explain it and break it down and help you understand it, somebody that you can trust, means so much when you're going through, the home buying or the home selling process. So tell folks how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can Google me anywhere at Michael Roberts with Realty Group, or you can reach out to realtygroup.com and pull me up. You can also find me at Roberts Properties anywhere on any social sites, any platforms, and you can contact me directly through my number at 651-214-9255. You'll get a text message back with my calendar link, and we can book a consultation.
Well, I just appreciate you taking a moment. I know you've got a lot of home listings and you got a lot of clients waiting on you today. And you took a moment to talk to us to explain this process as these new rules and regulations go into effect today. I want to make sure that anybody who is buying or selling a home understands and knows that this process is very different from what they may have already experienced. So I appreciate you taking the time to be here.
No, I appreciate you blessing me with this opportunity.
All right. And you all stick around. We've got more to come. My child is getting ready to go to college. He is leaving on Thursday. I have never had a child to go to college before. I am not sure what my role is right now. I am the parent of an adult child. What does that look like? What are my new responsibilities? How do I handle this newfound independence and freedom? Does he need to pick up a bill? And my new parenting role, I need a parenting expert to help me navigate this. And so I am checking in with my girl, Lindy Vincent, parenting expert extraordinaire. She is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline all the way from New Jersey. Girl, I miss you, girl. I miss you.
Hey, girl. You know I miss you. What's up?
Girl, I need your advice. You always give me good sound advice. And I know a lot of times you don't think I listen. I am listening. I just don't do it right away. Okay. My obedience is delayed. My obedience is always delayed. But, you know, Andrew is checking up out of here Thursday. He's going to St. Cloud State. What? How do I parent an adult child? You've done it twice successfully, getting ready to do it a third time. I need some tips.
Yes. First of all, I'm so proud of Andrew. So proud that he's just launching off on his own and kind of finding his way. As for you, though, Shaletta, this is your time to back up and back off. I know how you are. You are very motherly. I'm doing air quotes. You
that's
can't
a
see me.
That's a nice way of saying it. That's a nice saying it.
But you have got to let Andrew stand on business, his own business. You cannot be holding his hand at this point, Shaletta. You really have to let him fly. And that's what you raised him to do, right? You didn't want him to be 35 years old in your basement.
No,
right?
Ma'am, I do not. No, ma'am, I do not.
Okay. I'm going to make sure we're on the same page. So really, your role is a support role at this point. You've done, for the most part, I would say like 80 to 90% of the rearing of him. Okay. Now it's up to him to take the baton, kind of like in the Olympics, you know how they pass the baton off to the next runner? It's time for him to get the baton from mom and start running his own race and making some decisions on his own, using you as a resource, of course. But
yeah,
it really lies squarely on him now to kind of continue on.
Okay, so Thursday when we drop him off at St. Cloud State, I'm trying to figure out what's the best course of action. Do I let him and Sean go and get settled and then me and the little kids come a day or so later to see how everything is going and check in? Because the little babies want to see where he's at. You know, they have autism. They're anxious about him not being in his room and them not being able to see him. You know, he's a great caretaker for them. So they feel like they're losing, you know, part of their support system. And so I want to get them up there, but should we take them the first day when he moves in? Is it going to be too hectic? Should we wait? I'm trying to figure out kind of what to do.
Yeah, I think you should all go as a family on that first day.
Okay.
Because once he gets settled in and you drop him off, you need to be gone. Like, it shouldn't be a two-parter or 3 days later or anything like that, in my opinion. I think it needs to be a big family move-in. You set his room up, you know, get him his snacks, whatever he needs for his room. But be your target runs two or three times. Get his posters, get his comforter, everything set up. And you have to leave him. Because his job at that point is, if he has a roommate, to get to know his roommate, to get to know his hallmates in the dorm, to familiarize himself with campus, figure out where his classes are. He does not have time, unfortunately, to worry about the family. Not that he doesn't love you guys. He's always going to love you guys.
Okay.
But he has to focus on what it is this next phase of life is going to offer him.
Okay.
And that it kind of hurts your feelings a little bit. I'll be honest
with
you.
It does. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah. It kind of hurts your feelings a little bit. You might shed a couple tears. Because as a parent, this is a huge deal for us to go and drop our kids off. This is what we've raised them to do. This is a proud moment. We just want to kind of relish in it, take all the pictures, and just be all up in it. They don't want that, though, Shaletta. At that particular time, they don't want that. They want to be like, okay, bye, give hugs, see you later type of vibe. You know what I mean? It hurts your feelings a little bit. I'll be honest. It does hurt your feelings a little bit. They don't mean anything by it. They're not trying to be offensive or anything like that. It's just, they're ready to go on to that next step.
And we ready to hold on.
We're not ready to
cry.
Yay. They don't need all of that. They really don't. They really don't. So I would say as much upfront goodbyes as you can do with the kids and, you know, just do it that kind of way and do a one-time drop-off and then go on about your life. He'll call. You'll see him again. It's not like you're never going to see him again, but drop him off and let him go.
Okay. Now, how often should I be checking in? Because I want to make sure that I'm checking in to let him know we're thinking about him, we love him, and to see how everything's going. But I don't want to get on his nerves. Is there like a safe amount of time that, you know, once or twice a week, three or four times a week, three or four times a day?
Huh? Please. Set this up in advance, too. This is the thing, too. Set the expectation in advance. What I did with my kids when they went off to college, we said every week, we pick a day. We let them pick a day. And usually, for both of them, they pick Sunday for some reason. I think that's just a chill day for students as they get ready for the next, you know, going to the next week and stuff. 30 minutes every Sunday, just check in. We'll have a quick phone call. How you doing? How's this? Do you need anything? And that's it. And if they want to contact you sometime during the week, that's on them. But don't you don't drive the conversation or the contact. Okay. Let him do it.
Okay.
And have that one check-in that you can count on. Sunday. And if you don't hear from him on that Sunday, you know there might be something up that you really need to be like, okay, track him down.
Okay.
But if he's smart, he'll do that, check in on Sunday. Everything's good, Mom. Love you guys. And then he can have the rest of his week and live his life, you know, and you won't feel stressed because you'll know he's okay. And he won't feel stressed because you're calling him every 5 minutes.
Right. Because I was thinking about that. Like, well, should I set a timer for 5 o'clock every day? So you're saying once a week on Sundays, that's a good time because everybody's home. We're not going from one thing to another. School's going to be in for the other kids. So those schedules won't be varied and will be settled. So sometime after church, maybe.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. Once a week is enough because he's going to be busy studying for his exams and just doing everything he's going to be doing on campus.
Okay, now what do we need a stipend? Do we need to be giving him some money every month for incidentals and that kind of thing? What's that like? Do we just drop it in his account? Is it a certain amount that you think is good? I don't want to give him too much that he get in trouble, but I want to make sure that he has enough to eat. You know, because you can't get these young people too much money, girl. You kidding?
You definitely can't. And it's not about that. It's really not about that because they're not, again, they're branching off as adults. So it's not like you're paying for every incidental, every meal, every club admission, any of that. That's kind of, some of that has to be on them. So I can tell you what we did for our kids. With our kids, we would give them $200 a month at the beginning of every month. Like it was an automatic deposit. At the first of the month, they would get the $200. And $200 is not considered a lot of money, but it is enough if you want to, you know, maybe go out to dinner or get something special. The kids were on meal plans. They got, you know, they didn't really have any bills or anything. So $200, you can use that wisely. If you give them too much, I feel like they just waste it on stupid stuff that they don't really care about or Uber Eats or, you know, they just overindulge.
Yeah, that kind of silly stuff.
Yeah. So just give them a little bit. Just a little
bit. That's what I was thinking, like $200 a month. Yeah.
Because
he's a boy. That's he don't perfect. Even need all that. He's not going to even use all that soap and deodorant.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, so what do you think more than anything that he needs from me right now? What could I be doing to support him?
I think he needs space to get his head right because think about the changes he's going through right now. Like what's going on in his mind? He's probably a little nervous. He's probably a little worried. You know, am I going to fit in? Am I going to make friends? What's this? What's that? Living on my own. He's probably has some apprehension. I know he's very outgoing. He's very social. So it's not like he's, you know, a little wallflower and won't be able to get out there, but he's, you know, it's a big transition for kids to leave their parents' home and to go off on their own, you know, a distance away. It's not like he could just come home that night for dinner type of thing, you know?
Right.
So it's a big transition. So he's probably having a lot of internal dialogue. And like I said, he might have some anxiety, a little bit of stress about it, but at the end of the day, I think it's just being there and being supportive, you know, checking in on him, not bugging him, not bothering him, just giving him comfort and support where needed and let him know that you have confidence in him, that he'll be successful and he'll do well.
Can you just come and move in with me? Can you just go ahead and be these kids' mama? Because this is a lot. I have taken notes. I have taken handwritten notes. I am typing up notes. And it is, I'm looking at, I have literally had to flip the page. This is a lot, Lindy. Can you just move in here with the kids and be their mama?
No, you can do it. I got all the confidence in the world that you're going to hit it out of the park. Like you always do. You're a great mom. You look crazy, but you're a great mom. You take care of those babies very well. So I know he'll be well taken care of. He'll be launched off successfully. And you'll, next time you see him, I don't know how often he's coming home, but at least Thanksgiving, he'll probably be a whole new person. You know, he'll just have changed and grown and matured in so many different ways. But you have to let him, give him that space to do that, though. Don't hover over him. Don't constantly call him, check on him. He knows your number. If he needs something, he's going to call you or text you.
Okay.
Trust and believe that. They will get in touch with you when they need something. So,
okay. Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Trust that he's making good decisions. You've taught him well. And go from there.
All right, girl. Well, I sure thank you for coming on the show. Lindy Vincent, parenting expert extraordinaire. I cannot wait until your book comes out. I am buying three copies, one for upstairs, downstairs, and in the car. I do not want to. So when I cannot get you on the phone, I know that I can reach you by reading your book.
Ma'am.
So you make sure as soon as that book is out, you make me your first stop. Okay, make this show your first interview.
Will do.
All right, love you. Bye bye. All right, y'all, stick around. Somebody else I love, Steve Thompson, is coming up next. Big Dad Energy is in the room. Steve Thompson is joining the Shaletta Show as he does every week. Stevie T, these links are putting it on the Washington Mystics. 84-62, fourth quarter, 7 minutes left. The links are killing it this season.
Yeah, they're having really a good year, and the Mystics, they're struggling a bit. Six wins in now will be 27 games. Not very good, but a good win for the Lynx as the WNBA comes back after the long Olympic break. And, you know, we'll see what they can get it done. I mean, they have a very competitive team. Do they have enough talent to win the title? Don't know about that. But, yeah, they're having a good year and should be a playoff team. And, you know, we'll see if they can get on a run. It's always about health, whatever the pro sport. It's about how healthy you are when you get to the playoffs and is everybody in good shape.
Okay, talking about health, we got to talk about these Vikings and our quarterback, Steve. What are we going to do?
Well, it is a nightmare. First-round pick, quarterback J.J. McCarthy. A lot of people think he is the future. It remains to be seen. He has still not played a game in the NFL that counts. Preseason doesn't count. Practice doesn't count. I think the coverage of him in practice, and you know, he looks good. Let me know when the games count in September. And unfortunately, he won't be able to play in a game that counts until next year because he injured his knee and they got in there to clean up the meniscus and found out that he won't be able to return this season. So that is bad news indeed. So that leads us to now it's all about Sam Darnold. I guarantee you, or I will be shocked if Sam Darnold plays at all in Cleveland today or in the final third preseason game. They can't afford for him to get banged up in games that don't count. And, you know, Shaletta, I said at the beginning of camp, I say the same thing every year. Tell me when the regular season starts, and the only thing that matters in the preseason is avoiding injuries. And they weren't able to do that. And therefore, Jordan Addison, their number two receiver, who got in some hot water during the offseason out in L.A., he got banged up. It looks like he'll be okay and ready to go when the regular season starts. But there is no reason for any of the key guys to play at all today in Cleveland. So if I were you, I wouldn't even bother. I wouldn't even watch a game. No reason to watch a game today.
Okay. All right. Now, what do you have coming up on your show today?
Well, we have Doug, and we're going to do Tech Talk. There's always a lot going on in the computer world, how to people protect themselves online, et cetera. And then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. He has one more appearance from Game Fair. A lot of the hunters getting ready for hunting season coming up. The open water fishing season, I hate to say it, is starting to wind down. Kind of tough right now, the bite anyway. And then we're going to get you ready for the Twins and the Rangers. Twins are hanging in there just three games out, Shaletta.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing down in Arlington again today. They had a good win last night. So we'll talk a lot about the Twins. And, oh, by the way, state amateur baseball tournament, town team baseball, their big state tournament is now underway, and we'll talk about that on the program today. And that runs through Labor Day like the state fair, and I understand you will be live at the fair the next two Saturdays.
Well, okay, I hope you're going to be with me because I don't get to see you like I used to every single Saturday. So I'm praying that we'll be passing ships in the night. Are you going to be at the state fair as well?
Well, that is the plan right now, to be at the fair. And I did count, you know, we had the one no state fair due to COVID, and then we weren't at the fair another year. So it was like 2 years we weren't at the fair, if memory serves.
Yeah.
But we are back. I believe this will be my 24th state fair coming up here on CCO. I've been out there 24 Saturdays. Used to be Saturdays and Sundays. So, yeah, I look forward to seeing it. I'm sure you've got some big names showing up out there.
Well, you know what? We're going to do a big thing. I don't know if you've heard this, but... No. I may be saying it for the first or second time out loud because nobody knew that we were doing this. So I try not to tell it in case somebody tries to cancel it. We're going to do Flash Mob at the fair. You know, I created the Walls Wiggle, the line dance with Line Dance Lynn. And so Line Dance Lynn is going to come to the booth on Saturday when I'm out at the fair. And from 12 to 2, she's going to be teaching people how to do the Walls Wiggle. And then at 2 o'clock, we're going to do it. And we're inviting all the line dancers in town to meet us at the WCCO radio booth. I want to break the internet. I want every line dance teacher. I want every line dancer. Bring your boots. Meet us at the WCCO radio booth on Saturday at 2 o'clock. We're going to be doing the Walls Wiggle. And so we're going to be having a good old time, Steve. So, you know, I'm going to just tell you, bring your boots, because we're going to be line dancing at 2 o'clock at the fair. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting hundreds of people.
Do you know we're right next door to the GOP?
You know, that crossed my mind. And that's what's going to make it so fun and saucy. That's what's going to make it so fun and saucy, Steve.
Oh. Yay. I look forward to it.
I'll see you there, brother. And y'all stick around. Steve Thompson is coming up next.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:07. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. My name is Shaletta Brundage. I am the host of this here show. And August is Black Business Month. Now, I didn't have a reason to celebrate until 4 years ago when I became a business owner myself. I created ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, my podcasting and promotions company that celebrates Black culture. And that's when I realized the systemic barriers that keep Black business owners from not just surviving, but thriving. Access to capital, political connections, social capital, bank loans and credit cards that are not extended our way, forgivable loans, folks thinking just because we're a Black business that a business that is owned by a Black person that we only want to do business with Black people, or people who just downright outright discriminate against Black business owners. If you see a successful Black business owner, believe me, they have come through a lot to get to where they are. I tell people all the time, every dollar that I have earned is hard fought. It is rare that somebody says, hey, we want to give you this money to do this job and to do this work. And, we really trust and appreciate you. I got to jump through hoops. I got to put proposals and presentations together. There's no such thing as I know I can do the job and get an opportunity to do that. I damn near have to do the job before they give it to me. Right. And then it's always a challenge to get paid. That's just the life of a business owner, especially one from communities of color. And so for August, during Black Business Month, I always try to do something special for Black entrepreneurs. I had a soiree at the Minneapolis Club this past Thursday where a couple hundred business owners were there taking tours of the building. And it wasn't anything that was formal. We didn't have a program. I didn't make a speech. People just came and we ate and we drank and we networked and we loved each other. That's it. And then the week before that, I had Black Entrepreneurs Day at the ballpark where African-American business owners set up tables and they were able to sell their product to all the fans at CHS Field during the St. Paul Saints baseball game. It was absolutely amazing. We had a great time and so many African-American business owners were able to network and pass out their business cards and get new clients and make some new connections. And, that got me to thinking about the Minnesota State Fair. There was a time where there were no African-American businesses who were vendors at the state fair, and that is not the case anymore. And so when I saw Reggie Carter and his beautiful bride at their booth and they were selling doggy treats, I said, oh, my gosh, I have got to get them on the show. Because I'm going to tell you something. The line was long. While we eating everything on the stick, Reggie and his wife are making sure that the pets back at home are getting some treats from the fair, too. And so I had to invite Reggie on the show so he could talk to me about how being at the state fair impacts his business. Must be rough. And he is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Reggie, thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you and your wife have Must Be Rough. Talk to me about your business.
Well, Must Be Rough is a homemade, all-natural pet treat company. We started it, this is year three, and we had in mind that if we feed the dogs natural, healthy, that hopefully they'll live a longer, healthier, happier life.
And how did you get into this business? Because that is so original and so new, which is probably why every time I see you all at the state fair, and you were there for state fair preview day and you were there for the fair, there's always a line of folks waiting to get to you. And you all are making these treats like right there on the spot. And, it's like you said, it's all natural. And apparently it's delicious because people are coming back over and over and over again.
Right, right. Well, people's animals and pets, they're part of their family, and so they want nothing but the best for them. I grew up on a farm in Mississippi, And just about all the foods that we ate, we went and picked them from the garden outside. And so the dogs that we had, they ate whatever my mom cooked. And we, all the pets that we had, they lived these long lives, 17, 18 years old. So I just went back to that roots part and said, I'm going to make things for our dog, but it's going to be all homemade that I know what's going into the food.
Yeah, because you just absolutely never know. Now, how did it go from you making homemade treats for your pets to starting a business where you make homemade treats for other people's pets?
Well, when I was making the treats myself for my dog, and I had a few people inquire about buying them. They saw them. My wife took pictures and posted some online on social media, and a few people reached out to me to inquire. And so once I had a handful of people inquire about buying them, I thought more people would be interested. And so I applied for the state fair after being in business like 3 months.
Wait a minute. Now, hold on. Back up. You mean to tell me you were in business 3 months when you came to the fair? What was that experience like?
A lot of anxiety. No one around me really thought that we could do it because, you know, that's a tall task. We're just making treats in our kitchen. We don't have any type of production or no money or, but I just was, you know, I was at a point in my life where I didn't want to have any more regrets. And I have these ideas of things I want to try. And so I just went for it.
And I tell you what, you stepped out on faith and God met you where you were. And you have been
That's
doing
true.
Great. Talk to me about That's what being at the fair means for your business.
Being at the fair has been like, you know, the fair is pretty much it's almost a validation. It's almost like once you're there, other businesses, it's like they don't have to vet you as much because it's like, okay, you're at the fair, so you must be doing something right. Okay, we can do business with you. It's been phenomenal. It brings media presence. It's a validation. It helps tremendously.
Now, what's business been like? Because anytime I pass by your booth or table, you guys have a long line of people. Are you getting new customers, repeat customers? Are you guys doing pretty good?
Yeah, we're doing good. I know last year during the fair, I think we'll have repeat customers by 4 and 5 times just during the stretch of the fair.
Wow.
Yeah, and last year we won one of the awards for one of the best vendors at the Minnesota State Fair. And so that helped out a lot.
Wow. Okay, now you got to tell everybody where you're going to be so they'll know where to go looking for you when they hit up the fair on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. We'll be in the Pet Pavilions, which is up at Machinery Hill next to the new hangar bar up on that end by the old tractors and things.
Yes. Well, we will look for you, and we know that folks are going to be lining up to get the treats. We don't even have a dog. We buy them for the neighbor's dog, and Molly over at Mr. Fields' house really enjoys it just because I love supporting you. I love the work you're doing, and I want to see you succeed. All right, y'all going up to the state fair. Look for Must Be Rough. Tell Reggie Carter you heard about his dog treats on the show and you wanted to support him. Reggie, thank you so much and happy Black Business Month.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. You as well. And y'all stick around. We've got more to come. It is 2:20. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I want to make sure we talk about it. I want to make sure you're good and informed about what's going on because starting today, how real estate agents get paid changes. What does that mean for Minnesota home buyers and sellers? I'm talking to Michael Roberts with Roberts Property. He's joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Michael, what is going on? Buyers now have to sign a representation agreement with an agent before they even see one house, right?
Yep. So that's a big thing, but it should have been always a practice, right? We're always supposed to give them affiliation, which lets them know who they're being represented by, which is a broker and buyer's agent, as well as who their company partnerships are through title and so on, as well as what they're tying themselves up with an exclusive or non-exclusive agreement for representation and fiduciary duties. So that was always should be a number one, but with the requirement of a mandatory agent's commission, that allowed some agents to just skip that initial step to be able to, hey, let's just jump out here and go see this place, because it already has a listed compensation agreement in the MLS, which is a mandatory requirement. So the listing agent would automatically say, hey, look, you want my services, I need about 3%, because I'm going to do this, that, A, B, R, A, Z, and I'm also going to want to dangle a carrot out there for the buyer's agent. So let's offer them, let's give them 3%, and that's where you get that 6% there and moving forward. And it's already listed on the MLS, so the point of them having to sit down and do all the extra, hey, this is what I'm going to pay. Some agents were even telling them, hey, you don't have to worry about that because, we're already taking care of it. They already know preset. It's labeled and listed in the MLS. And in order to participate in MLS, you have to put that compensation there of some type of number, even if it's a dollar.
Now, this comes after a blockbuster settlement about 5 months ago. The promised changes to the real estate industry are now in effect today. The class action lawsuit against the National Association of Realtors alleged that buyers and sellers have been paying their realtors too much. And in March, the NAR settled the case without admitting any guilt and agreed to pay $418 million to settle the claim. That longstanding business practice enabled agents and their brokers to collect what they were saying was high commissions. And the new rules changed the buying and selling process. So talk to me about what changes people are going to see, because somebody who may have, bought their home 5, 6, 7 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, they're going through a divorce, Michael. They're downsizing. Kids are going off to college. They realize they don't need all this space. And so they are going to see something different. And they're going to be like, well, wait a minute. This ain't what happened last time.
Yep. So what they'll necessarily see, if they're listing their home, they're going to have more negotiation power, right? So no longer will it have to be whatever that meant. Because it became a usual average, right? You usually see about 2 to 2.73% in there, right? Based on what the predetermined negotiated compensation, like we spoke of with the listing agent getting his compensation, then negotiating, if I was the buyer agent, my compensation to bring my client there. That is now optional and now no longer mandatory and listed, right? So it's not listed on the MLS, meaning it has to be negotiated either agent to agent for a broker, which is the old school system, broker to broker compensation.
Right.
And now the seller has the option to say, I want to give or I don't want to give to that buyer's agent.
Okay. Okay.
It was no longer, because the way listing agents would have to approach it, it's mandatory, right? I have to put some compensation here for the other side to even get you listed on the MLS so we can partake.
And, another thing that got me, Michael, was that it also includes how long the buyer will work with the agent and how the broker and the agent will earn their compensation, whether it's a share of the purchase price or a flat fee or something else.
Yep. So because the listing agent has the option to hog as well, right? So they can bring their own buyer agent in. I mean, not their own buyer agent, but they can get their own client to come and purchase the place. So the listing agent would be able to have two negotiations in this new setup. So they'll say, hey, well, if I just list it and somebody else comes and brings the buyer, which now I don't have to negotiate that side, I want my 3% for listing your home, and you can handle that, whatever that is, with the buyer's agent. That's a different negotiation. But if I find the client that comes in directly to me, my commission is 4% now instead of that 3 or 5, right? But if in the old system, if it was already predetermined that you were offering 3%, they now just took 6% and hauled the deal.
Got it. So with
this new system, it's going to be more competitive pricing for the sellers. And the only people that are really going to get hurt detrimentally is the actual consumers on the lower end that don't really have the financing to pay for a buyer's agent, which I see in the near future, down payment assistance starting to lean towards helping out with the buyer's agent's compensation with this new system. That's the only way I can see it actually being more frictionless and where we can come in and say, hey, buyer's agent, I have a lender here who's good at this, that, and the third, getting down payment assistance, and we have new programs with down payment assistance that allow buyer's agents to be paid with that as well, up to a certain percentage or however they set it up. But that's just me forward thinking, right? So that's why I see us growing into new things. But this is all speculation until things come about. We get into shifting markets, going from a buyer's market to a seller's market and so on, and watching these things play out.
Okay, now you have to tell me how folks can get in touch with you, because if they're getting ready to buy or sell their house, they want to find somebody that they can trust, somebody who understands this new process, who can explain it and break it down to them like you just did to me, so that folks understand it. It's already a complicated and confusing process, Michael. You know that this is your industry, but to have somebody who can explain it and break it down and help you understand it, somebody that you can trust, means so much when you're going through, you know, the home buying or the home selling process. So tell folks how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can Google me anywhere at Michael Roberts with Realty Group, or you can reach out to realtygroup.com and pull me up. You can also find me at Roberts Properties anywhere on any social sites, any platforms, and you can contact me directly through my number at 651-214-9255. You'll get a text message back with my calendar link, and we can book a consultation.
Well, I just appreciate you taking a moment. I know you've got a lot of home listings and you got a lot of clients waiting on you today. And you took a moment to talk to us to explain this process as these new rules and regulations go into effect today. I want to make sure that anybody who is buying or selling a home understands and knows that this process is very different from what they may have already experienced. So I appreciate you taking the time to be here.
No, I appreciate you blessing me with this opportunity.
All right. And you all stick around. We've got more to come. My child is getting ready to go to college. He is leaving on Thursday. I have never had a child to go to college before. I am not sure what my role is right now. I am the parent of an adult child. What does that look like? What are my new responsibilities? How do I handle this newfound independence and freedom? Does he need to pick up a bill? And my new parenting role, I need a parenting expert to help me navigate this. And so I am checking in with my girl, Lindy Vincent, parenting expert extraordinaire. She is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline all the way from New Jersey. Girl, I miss you, girl. I miss you.
Hey, girl. You know I miss you. What's up?
Girl, I need your advice. You always give me good sound advice, and I know a lot of times you don't think I listen. I am listening. I just don't do it right away, okay? My obedience is delayed. My obedience is always delayed. But, you know, Andrew is checking up out of here Thursday. He's going to St. Cloud State. How do I parent an adult child? You've done it twice successfully, getting ready to do it a third time. I need some tips.
Yes. First of all, I'm so proud of Andrew. So, so proud that he's just launching off on his own and kind of finding his way. As for you, though, Shaletta, this is your time to back up and back off. I know how you are. You are very motherly. I'm doing air quotes. You
that's
can't
a
see me.
That's a nice way of saying it. That's a nice saying it.
But you have got to let Andrew stand on business, his own business. You cannot be holding his hand at this point, Shaletta. You really have to let him fly. And that's what you raised him to do, right? You didn't want him to be 35 years old in your basement.
No,
right?
Ma'am, I do not. No, ma'am, I do not.
Okay. I'm going to make sure we're on the same page. So really your role is a support role at this point. You've done
for the most part, I would say like 80 to 90% of the rearing of him. Okay. Now it's up to him to take the baton, kind of like in the Olympics, you know how they pass the baton off to the next runner? It's time for him to get the baton from mom and start running his own race and making some decisions on his own, using you as a resource, of course. But
yeah,
it really lies squarely on him now to kind of continue on.
Okay, so Thursday when we drop him off at St. Cloud State, I'm trying to figure out what's the best course of action. Do I let him and Sean go and get settled, and then me and the little kids come a day or so later to see how everything is going and check in? Because the little babies want to see where he's at. You know, they have autism. They're anxious about him not being in his room and them not being able to see him. You know, he's a great caretaker for them, so they feel like they're losing, you know, part of their support system. And so I want to get them up there, but should we take them the first day when he moves in? Is it going to be too hectic? Should we wait? I'm trying to figure out kind of what to do.
Yeah, I think you should all go as a family on that first day.
Okay.
Because once he gets settled in and you drop him off, you need to be gone. Like, it shouldn't be a two-parter or 3 days later or anything like that, in my opinion. I think it needs to be a big family move-in. You set his room up, you know, get him his snacks, whatever he needs for his room. But do your Target runs two or three times. Get his coasters, get his comforter, everything set up. And you have to leave him. Because his job at that point is, if he has a roommate, to get to know his roommate, to get to know his hallmates in the dorm, to familiarize himself with campus, figure out where his classes are. He does not have time, unfortunately, to worry about the family. Not that he doesn't love you guys. He's always going to love you guys. But he has to focus on what it is this next phase of life is going to offer him.
Okay.
And that it kind of hurts your feelings a little bit. I'll be honest with you.
It does. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah. It kind of hurts your feelings a little bit. You might shed a couple tears. Because as a parent, this is a huge deal for us to go and drop our kids off. This is what we've raised them to do. This is a proud moment. We just want to kind of relish in it, take all the pictures, and just be all up in it. They don't want that, though, Shaletta. At that particular time, they don't want that. They want to be like, okay, bye, give hugs, see you later type of vibe. You know what I mean? It hurts your feelings a little bit. I'll be honest. It does hurt your feelings a little bit. They don't mean anything by it. They're not trying to be offensive or anything like that. It's just, they're ready to go on to that next step.
And we're ready to hold on.
We're not ready to
cry.
They don't need all of that. They really don't. So I would say as much upfront goodbyes as you can do with the kids and, you know, just do it that kind of way and do a one-time drop-off and then go on about your life. He'll call. You'll see him again. It's not like you're never going to see him again, but drop him off and let him go.
Okay, now how often should I be checking in? Because I want to make sure that I'm checking in to let him know we're thinking about him, we love him, and to see how everything's going, but I don't want to get on his nerves. Is there like a safe amount of time that, you know, once or twice a week, three or four times a week, three or four times a day?
Shaletta, please. Set this up in advance, too. This is the thing, too. Set the expectation in advance. What I did with my kids when they went off to college, we said every week, we picked a day. We let them pick a day. And then usually for both of them, they pick Sunday for some reason. I think that's just a chill day for students as they get ready for the next, you know, going to the next week and stuff. 30 minutes every Sunday, just check in. We'll have a quick phone call. How you doing? How's this? Do you need anything? And that's it. And if they want to contact you sometime during the week, that's on them. But don't you don't drive the conversation or the contact.
Okay.
Let him do it.
Okay.
And have that one check-in that you can count on. Sunday. And if you don't hear from him on that Sunday, you know there might be something up that you really need to be like, okay, track him down.
Okay.
But if he's smart, he'll do that, check in on Sunday. Everything's good, Mom. Love you guys. And then he can have the rest of his week and live his life, you know, and you won't feel stressed because you'll know he's okay. And he won't feel stressed because you're calling him every 5 minutes.
Right. Because I was thinking about that. Like, well, should I set a timer for 5 o'clock every day? So you're saying once a week on Sundays, that's a good time because everybody's home. We're not going from one thing to another. School's going to be in for the other kids. So those schedules won't be varied and we'll be settled. So sometime after church, maybe.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Once a week is enough because he's going to be busy studying for his exams and just doing everything he's going to be doing on campus.
Okay, now what do we need a stipend? Do we need to be giving him some money every month for incidentals mm-hmm. and that kind of thing? What's that like? Do we just drop it in his account? Is it a certain amount that you think is good? I don't want to give him too much that he get in trouble, but I want to make sure that he has enough to eat. You know, because you can't give these young people too much money, girl. You definitely can't.
And it's not about that. It's really not about that, because they're not, again, they're branching off as adults. So it's not like you're paying for every incidental, every meal, every club admission, any of that. Some of that has to be on them. So I can tell you what we did for our kids. With our kids, we would give them $200 a month at the beginning of every month. Like, it was an automatic deposit. At the first of the month, they would get the $200. And $200 is not considered a lot of money, but it is enough if you want to, you know, maybe go out to dinner or get something special. The kids were on meal plans. They got, you know, they didn't really have any bills or anything. So $200, you can use that wisely. If you give them too much, I feel like they just waste it. They stupid stuff that they don't really care about. Or Uber Eats, or, you know, they just overindulge.
Yeah, that kind of silly stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So just give them a little bit. Just a little
bit. That's what I was thinking, like $200 a month. Yeah.
Because
he's a boy. That's he don't perfect. Even need all that. He's not going to even use all that soap and deodorant.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so what do you think more than anything that he needs from me right now? What could I be doing to support him?
I think he needs space to get his head right, because think about the changes he's going through right now, like what's going on in his mind. He's probably a little nervous. He's probably a little worried, you know, am I going to fit in? Am I going to make friends? What's this? What's that? Living on my own. He's probably has some apprehension. I know he's very outgoing and very social, so it's not like he's, you know, a little wallflower and won't be able to get out there, but he's, you know, it's a big transition for kids to leave their parents' home and to go off on their own, you know, a distance away. It's not like he could just come home that night for dinner type of thing, you know?
Right.
So it's a big transition. So he's probably having a lot of internal dialogue. And like I said, he might have some anxiety, a little bit of stress about it. But at the end of the day, I think it's just being there and being supportive, you know, checking in on him, not bugging him, not bothering him, just giving him comfort and support where needed, and let him know that you have confidence in him, that he'll be successful and he'll do well.
Can you just come and move in with me? Can you just go ahead and be these kids' mama? Because this is a lot. I have taken notes. I have taken handwritten notes. I am typing up notes. And it is, I'm looking at the, I have to flip. I have literally had to flip the page. This is a lot, Lindy. Can you just move in here with the kids and be their mama?
No, you can do it. I got all the confidence in the world that you're going to do. You're going to hit it out of the park. Like you always do. You're a great mom. You look crazy, but you're a great mom. You take care of those babies very well. So I know he'll be well taken care of. He'll be launched off successfully. And you'll, next time you see him, I don't know how often he's coming home, but at least Thanksgiving, he'll probably be a whole new person, you know. He'll just have changed and grown and matured in so many different ways. But you have to let him, give him that space to do that, though. Don't hover over him. Don't constantly call him, check on him. He knows your number. If he needs something, he's going to call you or text you.
Okay.
Trust and believe that. They will get in touch with you when they need something. So,
okay. Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Trust that he's making good decisions. You've taught him well. And go from there.
All right, girl. Well, I sure thank you for coming on the show. Lindy Vincent, parenting expert extraordinaire. I cannot wait until your book comes out. I am buying three copies, one for upstairs, downstairs, and in the car. I do not want to. So when I cannot get you on the phone, I know that I can reach you by reading your
ma'am.
Book. So you make sure as soon as that book is out, you make me your first stop. Okay, make this show your first interview.
Will do, will do. And
all
good
right,
luck
girl.
On the
thank
drop
you.
Off. I'll be
thank
about
you.
Okay.
All right. Love you. Bye bye. All right, y'all stick around. Somebody else I love, Steve Thompson, is coming up next. Big Dad Energy is in the room. Steve Thompson is joining the Shaletta Show as he does every week. Stevie T, these links are putting it on the Washington Mystics. 84-62, fourth quarter, 7 minutes left. The links are killing it this season.
Yeah, they're having really a good year, and the Mystics, they're struggling a bit. Six wins in now what will be 27 games. Not very good, but a good win for the Lynx as the WNBA comes back after the long Olympic break. And, you know, we'll see what they can get it done. I mean, they have a very competitive team. Do they have enough talent to win the title? Don't know about that. But, yeah, they're having a good year and should be a playoff team. And, you know, we'll see if they can get on a run. It's always about health, whatever the pro sport. It's about how healthy you are when you get to the playoffs and is everybody in good shape.
Okay, talking about health, we got to talk about these Vikings and our quarterback, Steve. What are we going to do?
Well, it is a nightmare. First-round pick, quarterback J.J. McCarthy. A lot of people think he is the future. It remains to be seen. He has still not played a game in the NFL that counts. Preseason doesn't count. Practice doesn't count. I think the coverage of him in practice, and, you know, he looks good. Let me know when the games count in September. And unfortunately, he won't be able to play in a game that counts until next year because he injured his knee and they got in there to clean up the meniscus and found out that he won't be able to return this season. So that is bad news indeed. So that leads us to now it's all about Sam Darnold. I guarantee you, or I will be shocked if Sam Darnold plays at all in Cleveland today or in the final third preseason game. They can't afford for him to get banged up in games that don't count. And, you know, Shaletta, I said at the beginning of camp, I say the same thing every year. Tell me when the regular season starts, and the only thing that matters in the preseason is avoiding injuries. And they weren't able to do that. Jordan Addison, their number two receiver, who got in some hot water during the offseason out in L.A., he got banged up. It looks like he'll be okay and ready to go when the regular season starts. But there is no reason for any of the key guys to play at all today in Cleveland. So if I were you, I wouldn't even bother. I wouldn't even watch a game. No reason to watch a game today.
Okay. All right. Now, what do you have coming up on your show today?
Well, we have Doug, and we're going to do Tech Talk. There's always a lot going on in the computer world, how do people protect themselves online, et cetera. And then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. He has one more appearance from Game Fair. A lot of the hunters getting ready for a hunting season coming up. The open water fishing season, I hate to say it, is starting to wind down. Kind of tough right now, the bite anyway. And then we're going to get you ready for the Twins and the Rangers. Twins are hanging in there just three games out, Shaletta. And they're playing down in Arlington again today. They had a good win last night. So we'll talk a lot about the Twins. And, oh, by the way, state amateur baseball tournament, town team baseball, their big state tournament is now underway, and we'll talk about that on the program today. And that runs through Labor Day like the state fair, and I understand you will be live at the fair the next two Saturdays.
Well, okay, I hope you're going to be with me because I don't get to see you like I used to every single Saturday. So I'm praying that we'll be passing ships in the night. Are you going to be at the state fair as well?
Well, that is the plan right now to be at the fair. And I did count, you know, we had the one no state fair due to COVID, and then we weren't at the fair another year. So it was like 2 years we weren't at the fair, if memory serves. But we are back. I believe this will be my 24th state fair coming up here on CCO. I've been out there 24 Saturdays. Used to be Saturdays and Sundays. So, yeah, I look forward to seeing it. I'm sure you've got some big names showing up out there.
Well, you know what? We're going to do a big thing. I don't know if you've heard this, But I may be saying it for the first or second time out loud because nobody knew that we were doing this. So I try not to tell it in case somebody tries to cancel it. We're going to do flash mob at the fair. You know, I created the Walls Wiggle, the line dance with Line Dance Lynn. And so Line Dance Lynn is going to come to the booth on Saturday when I'm out at the fair. And from 12 to 2, she's going to be teaching people how to do the Walls Wiggle. And then at 2 o'clock, we're going to do it. And we're inviting all the line dancers in town to meet us at the WCCO radio booth. I want to break the internet. I want every line dance teacher. I want every line dancer. Bring your booths. Meet us at the WCCO radio booth on Saturday at 2 o'clock. We're going to be doing the Walls Wiggle. And so we're going to be having a good old time, Steve. So, you know, I'm going to just tell you, bring your boots, because we're going to be line dancing at 2 o'clock at the fair. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting hundreds of people.
Do you know we're right next door to the GOP?
You know, that crossed my mind. And that's what's going to make it so fun and saucy. That's what's going to make it so fun and saucy, Steve.
Oh. Yay. I look forward to it.
I'll see you there, brother. And y'all stick around. Steve Thompson is coming up next.